Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
We are live. 347-677-1835. It's 347-677-1835. Come along and play with us. 17,704 listeners at Missouri Grassroots Radio. Mark Muller's here tonight. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good evening. Great.
Lisa. Lisa's here. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you, Dave?
I'm
are
great.
Are you that jolt of caffeine in the evening doing you well?
I'm doing some doing a great big glass of iced tea here. I think this glass has got about a half a gallon of iced tea. It'll get me through the next 2 hours, and then I'll start settling down, I think, for the night. listen, in New York City today, guess who walked out? Guess who had a major walkout? The workers at McDonald's demand $15 an hour.
Woohoo, I'm going to McDonald's for a job.
McDonald's, of course, says well, if we do that, we'll have to cut our workforce by 50%, so we'll see what happens with that, huh? The big talk for today, and then we're going to get into some other stuff that should be the big talk for the next 6 or 8 months. But the big talk for today, of course, continues to be the fiscal cliff. We understand, don't we, that the president is coming into this thing demanding tax hikes on the what he calls the wealthiest 2%. The wealthiest 2%, and yet his proposal is for tax hikes on everyone who makes over $250,000. So there's a little bit of disconnect there between what he says when he's talking to the press about the wealthiest 2% and what he actually lays on the table, which is a tax increase for your grocer, your dry cleaner, the guy that fixes your car. And then, in addition to that, he says his starting point for negotiation is, then we'll talk about some cuts in 2013. If you'll give me this, we'll sit down and talk with you about cuts in 2013. And the other thing I demand, it's a no-go, a deal breaker, is you've got to give me unlimited power with the debt ceiling. That is, no more of this having to come back to you for permission before I can go borrow more money. Mark, does that sound like a good idea to you?
Well, listen, I don't know how to be, you know, I only know how to say it one way, and that's the way it is. This man is a liar and he's a cheat. He's lying. We have this temporary deal and it was all going to put it off and we'll do it after the election and you know, we have to stop we're going to drop off the end of the earth here if we don't get this done, and the Republicans have to extend spending, and then they came out and said, well, I guess the Republicans aren't going to do it, so we're going to have to cut everybody's Social Security checks, and we're going to, you know, wait a minute, how about cutting some of the bureaucrats' checks? And anyway, it's all a big game, and I think we need to run the damn thing right off the cliff. What do you think of that? I think let's go. I think the Republicans should stand firm. If they give this man any more power, they've lost their minds.
Well, I'm with that. Lisa, let's hear what you have to say.
I'm just shocked. I mean, well, I guess I shouldn't be, because, you know, I mean, we knew that if Obama got elected again, it was just going to be the freight train was going down the tracks and there was going to be no way to stop it. They're going to give it to him. They're going to give it all to him. Because there's no incentive for them not to. I mean,
well,
and no bargaining power. Why wouldn't they give it to him?
Well, and their incentive to give it to him is that none of them have the fortitude to stand there and actually come out and fight when he tries to throw all the blame at them. I mean, there is no way that they should not be able to
be elected. They're not interested in doing the right thing for the country. They're worried about, you know, being in office when you go off the fiscal cliff and having the fingers pointed at them. They couldn't care less about standing up and doing the right thing or growing a backbone. It doesn't have anything to do with that. They're going to give it all to him, and they're going to continue to allow him to do the quantitative easing and the debt ceiling raising, and we are going to end up like Greece, and it's, you know, we're all going to be going to Mark's farm with our guns and living off the land.
We're already worse than Greece, all right?
We are absolutely already worse than Greece.
We're
yes.
already worse than Greece on a per capita basis, and the assumption that they're going to fold and capitulate is just that. I don't believe it. I think that the president sat in his, you know, pre-election campaign mode that we needed $1 in tax revenues for every $3 in cuts. Now he's talking $4 in revenues for every $1 in cuts. He's completely flipped the thing around. The problem is the media is complacent and compliant with this lie of his, and the man is a liar. Everything he said is not true. Look, I don't like any of them. I don't like the Democrats. I don't like Republicans. They're all a bunch of stinking politicians. And to me, I think Reagan said there's not a lot of difference between a prostitute and a politician, except for the prostitutes take offense when they're put in that same category. But we have to give our Republican brethren, a lot of them are, we have a lot of Tea Party people in the House now. We need to give them the benefit of the doubt, to give them an opportunity to do the right thing, but to blanketly say, well, they're going to fold, they're going to give in. No matter what they do, people on the right are going to scream and holler that they capitulated and folded. The deal is now, what is the deal? What's the art of the deal? The Democrats won the election. There's consequences when you lose elections. We lost. We lost big. Not only did we lose the Oval Office, but we also lost Senate seats. We have to compromise. The people spoke. And we can stand firm, we can get the best deal we can, but taxes are going to go up. I fear, my big fear is that when this thing's all done, it's all a bunch of posturing now, when this thing's all done, I fear that we're looking at possibly up to a 44% dividend tax versus a current 15%, and I think that's a killer. I think that's a job killer, I think it's an economic killer, and I wonder 4 years from now, when they're still blaming about, oh, the Republicans drove the car into ditch, it's George Bush's fault. Look, we're getting ready for another deep, deep recession, if not a depression. It's going to come. It's going to come because of these tax hikes. And it's sad because Obama could have a legacy if you just simply get out of the way and you know, get the Bush tax cuts permanent, get some serious tax cutting going on, just sit back and go on vacation. The other thing is Obama's getting ready to go to Hawaii on a $4 million vacation that we're going to pay for, and he's going for 20 days, and he's threatening the Republicans, you better get this done before I go on vacation. Now, you know and I know the media is not going to show him gone on the beach while the Republicans are there toiling trying to solve the problem with the Democrats in the Senate and blame it on Obama, but I think there's enough wise people out there that'll know. And let's give them the benefit of the doubt, and we must compromise.
Well, here's where we're worse off than Greece in the first place. I mean, to address your first point, Mark, is Greece, England, Spain, Portugal, all the people who are in trouble now, there is someone big enough to bail them out for the foreseeable future. You know, there's nobody big enough anymore to bail us out. There's nobody in the world big enough to bail us out. And we keep getting, and here's where your depression comes from, in my mind. I mean, and we've talked about this before, so I know that we all know it, but for you listeners out there who haven't been paying attention here, the tax increases that Barack Obama is asking for, $90 billion a year. That's what he's going to generate in revenue with these tax marginal rate increases on people making $250,000 or more are gonna raise $90 billion a year. In 10 years, that's $900 billion. This year, our deficit is $1 trillion. So 10 years of what Obama wants won't pay our deficit for 1 year. And if you think a $1.2 trillion deficit this year is bad, what's going to happen in 2014 when Obamacare kicks in?
Well, it's not the point. Raising taxes on the rich is not geared toward addressing the deficit. It's geared toward collapsing the economy. He's intentionally trying to collapse the economy. I mean, there's absolutely no logic in raising taxes when you're spending like a madman, when you are increasing the deficit by trillions of dollars, and having these really marginal tax increases. I mean, no one in their right mind thinks that that's going to address the deficit. What this is all about is to bring the economy to its knees, so that you can gain control over and finish off the socialist agenda.
Mark?
Well, I respectfully disagree. I maybe I'm naive, and I know Lisa's thinking, yep. I find it hard to believe that any American president, including this buffoon, would intentionally destroy America. Is there not any patriot left in the military? You're telling me that, see, for this to work, Lisa, you would have to have every single person in his cabinet, including Hillary Clinton. You'd have to have every single leader in the military said the biggest threat to our nation is the economy. You'd have to have the Democrats in the Senate. They'd all have to be in the same. They would all have to want the thing to collapse. And to have such a conspiracy work, I don't see it. I don't think that's the case. I think the guy is really believes that if he wants the waves to part, they'll part. He really believes in my heart that he has some superpower that nothing's going to happen bad as long as he's president. He doesn't believe it's going to happen. See, he's been indoctrinated
since he was a
child on all these things that we're discussing right now about the evil rich, and the only problem is we got to give power to the workers, and that's how everyone succeeds. Do you think that Stalin and Mao and all these communists, when they took over, believed that we're going to destroy the economy and bring our people to their knees and starve them for the next 80 years? Of course they didn't. They really believed in their hearts, these communists and these socialist progressives, that it was what was best so that everyone could have an equal share. What they don't realize in their ignorance is everyone will be equal. Everybody will be poor. The poor will be poor, and the rich, everyone's going to get poor. That's the end game. But I don't believe that that's what they want, and they're intentionally doing it, because it would involve such a huge amount of people in a conspiracy, and none of them have broke rank yet. I just don't find it legitimate.
Ding ding, Lisa.
why would they have a problem with collapsing the economy? They're going to be set. It's not going to hurt them. They're in a position of power. And do you think that all of those previous communist leaders cared about the people that they were turning into poverty? They were living off the fat of the land. They didn't care about their people. They weren't the least bit worried about it. In fact, they did everything in their power to keep them where they were. I mean, that's how you control them, by making them dependent on the government so that you can maintain your power. This is about power. This doesn't have anything to do with riding the ship of the government. And every single person in Washington, D.C. is struggling for their place at the table. They're all in, you know, even the Republicans. They're not really worried.
But do you believe that the Republicans, let me just clarify what you're saying, that the Democrats in the Senate, the Republicans in the House, the Cabinet, the generals would have to be involved in this, the Supreme Court, that they're all going along because they're all going to get their little piece of the pie and to hell with everyone else? I refuse to believe that. And if you truly believe that, it's time that we arm ourselves. I mean, we are arming ourselves, but it's time we take our pitchforks to Washington.
I think we have to. I think all those people are much more interested about maintaining their power than they are about riding the ship.
Wait a minute. There's a lot of difference between maintain and power. That's not what we're arguing about. We understand,
yeah.
Of course, everyone wants to maintain power. Your hypothesis was that we are that they are intentionally trying to collapse the economy.
Yeah,
and I find that unbelievable.
I want to stop here for a minute because I think you guys really are on the same page, but you're defining some terms differently. When Lisa says collapse the economy, I don't think she's talking about returning us to the dark ages. Barack Obama does want to destroy capitalism and replace it with socialism. That's what Lisa is saying.
There isn't any question that he has a different vision
right.
of the capitalist idea than the rest of us.
Right.
And I believe that he believes that the rich should be paying a whole lot more taxes and the poor should be getting a whole lot more and everyone in between everyone's going to be happy. But that's still a different concept than intentionally collapsing the economy intentionally to take it over. I don't believe it because it would take such a huge amount of people in this conspiracy to accomplish this thing that I'm just not a conspiracist.
What do you mean by take it over, Mark? I mean the federal government has already taken over the economy.
I think you would have to ask Lisa. I think she was saying that they want to. Her comment, I believe I'd have to look at the transcript, but quote is that he intentionally wants to destroy the economy in America, so he can take it over and remake it in his socialist view.
Lisa, what does this economy look like after it's destroyed?
I think we're all under one world government. I think the UN comes in. And, you know, we are no longer the United States of America. We are all under one world order.
I got to interrupt you. You really believe that all these hundreds of people in government are all doing this intentionally to destroy America, and not one of them has come forward? Not one has broke ranks and said, you know what, I was raised a Christian man. I believe in my Constitution, and I'm looking at my kids. I don't believe this. I'm going to stand up and speak against it. You believe it's the Bilderbergs or the Trilateral Organization that's behind all this?
How many people are coming? How many people are speaking against it?
Plenty.
No power has said what you've said.
But there are plenty of people now in Washington who are breaking ranks on exactly what Lisa's talking about. I mean, we have people in Washington talking out about Agenda 21, which is directed at bringing us under a world, giving our sovereignty to a world government. A world body. And Barack Obama and his cabinet are merrily pushing that agenda.
Yes, well, they are.
And we have plenty. We do have plenty of people breaking ranks on that. I mean, there's quite a vocal cadre in Washington D.C. Up in arms about that.
Well, I would agree, but Agenda 21 is a it's a different thing. I haven't read it cover to cover every page, but I do understand the concept. And there's a lot of progressives and socialists in this country that truly believe that America has too much power.
Yes.
And that truly believe that America is the great evil, Satan.
Right.
And there's a lot of them that believe that the only thing that's wrong with all the woes in darkest Africa is America, and that what's going on in the Middle East is America's fault, and that the reason Greece is in trouble is because of the evil, greedy Americans. There's no question about that. The only problems going on in Mexico, what's wrong with those? It's America. Now, there's a whole contingency of people that are doing that, but that's still, and they believe that America needs less power. And and unfortunately, there's a lot of middle-of-the-road Americans, or excuse me, Republicans, they call themselves Republicans, rhinos, that go along with this agenda to a certain extent. They want to drink half the Kool-Aid, you know. But that's still different than saying the President of the United States, I'm going to get back to this initial premise, because I agree with you on this the Bilderbergs, the Trilaterals, there's a tremendous conspiracy going on out there that we can talk about. But to say that the President of the United States is complicit with everyone else in that, the two major houses, the three branches of government, including our military and our courts, that are they are complicit and they're working together and they're trying to intentionally collapse America, I find it an absurd statement. I'm sorry, and I'm not going to change my opinion on that. I hope to hell you're wrong. Let me put it that way, because if you're right, it's a whole lot worse than I thought, and I haven't bought enough bullets yet.
Lisa, go ahead.
We'll just have to agree to disagree. I think Barack Obama is intentionally trying to collapse the economy, and I think that he is absolutely trying to shuffle in the one world order. I think that all of his actions since he's been elected to office, even in his first term, point to all of that, support all of that. He's done absolutely. He told everybody he was intentionally going. It was his intention to fundamentally transform America. He wanted to change it. He doesn't want it to be a free nation anymore. He wants it to be a socialist society. Everything he has done, he has supported the UN, and I mean he's supported the Muslim Brotherhood. He supported, just everything that he could do to weaken our culture, and his fiscal policies absolutely support all of that. I think he intentionally intends to collapse it.
We heard today that Illinois is $45 billion or $95 billion in the hole,
yeah,
just to fund their pensions, and California's a couple hundred billion in the hole, and that would mean, that all those governors and all those mayors over the years that gave these goodies out, all these liberals, that they were intentionally trying to destroy their cities and their states, and I think it's ignorance. I think it's hope. I think they believe that they're smarter than everybody else. You know, the only thing that liberals believe is wrong with liberalism is we haven't tried enough of it. I agree with Lisa on, I guarantee her, and I agree on way more than we're ever going to disagree on. It's just that I think what hurts our cause, and listen to the words, please, and not the way I say them, but I think what hurts our cause is conspiracy theorists that throw this stuff out there about Obama's intentionally trying to collapse America. I think it discredits the entire movement. And I think without some hard evidence, I think those are some pretty serious charges. And I believe that for that to be correct, that would mean that every governor and every mayor in Chicago and in Illinois have been complicit in intentionally trying to destroy Illinois. And I don't believe it. I believe they're just ignorant. I believe they believe that these magical things are going to happen, and that, you know, the tooth fairy is going to come down and solve their problems for them. And I think they just keep putting off and putting off and putting off. Obama is spending like a drunken sailor. And again, I heard this the other day. It was really funny. We don't want to insult drunken sailors. But I don't believe the drunken sailors were intentionally trying to bankrupt themselves when they went into the bar. I think they're just dumb. I don't believe Obama's dumb. I think he's smart, but I don't believe he has a lick of economic sense. None. I think he's on the verge of a moron when it comes to the economy. Listen to him talk. You didn't build that. Hell, we built the roads. You know, it would just have to be such a huge conspiracy. Now, does that mean that it's not going to collapse? No. I think Mary and I would agree. It's going to collapse. It's got to collapse. It's got to collapse under its own weight, and the weight is evil. It's going to happen. It's got to happen. Whether it's in my generation or my children's generation, it's coming. My father thought it would happen possibly in his generation and said for sure it's going to collapse in your generation. And like I said last night, we sat on the floor and sorted out the silver quarters. He said this is the first step to the collapse of an empire when they take the metal out of the money. And he was referring to gold and silver. So we are on a road to hell, and it is going to collapse. I believe, and this is where Mary and I will disagree, or probably agree even more, I should say, is that I believe that it doesn't matter if it was Mitt Romney or Barack Obama who won. They're going to trim around the edges. Only thing the Republicans are going to do is they're going to get us there slower. We're heading to the same place, though. Instead of going at 180 miles an hour, we're going to go at 60 miles an hour with Grandpa Romney driving. Would you agree with that?
Can we get back from this thing without a collapse? Can we get back without totally collapsing and restructuring everything from the ground up?
No, there's only one way, and it'll never happen. The only way to do it, in my opinion, And you have to go back to a gold standard. You have to count all the money that's out in circulation. All the M, you know, people really should read what money really is. You have the M3 money supply, which, you know, M1 is your quarters, your nickels, your dimes, and your dollars, and your pockets, your hundreds. And M2 is your T-bills and bonds and the government obligations. And you add the two together, it's your M3. We need to establish, because I don't even think we know, what the real M3 money supply is. And then we need to figure out how much gold we have in Fort Knox and around the other vaults in America that is U.S.-held gold. Not private gold, U.S. government-held gold. And let me tell you, they're going to come after the gold before this thing's over, the private gold. And let's say it has to be, I heard it was somewhere around $60,000 to $70,000 an ounce to get us back on a gold standard. If we did that immediately and then said, okay, you can bring in $70,000 worth of gold, worth of cash, and buy one U.S. coin, one U.S. ounce coin from our treasury, and then stick to a balanced budget, it would solve the problem and it would stop it dead in its tracks, everything that's happening. But that scenario I just laid out, what do you think the likelihood of that happening is? Because then it exposes the fraud and corruption that's going on in Washington, you know, since the Federal Reserve Act of 1913.
Lisa, can we? Is there any way to do this without a total collapse?
No. The people just don't. They don't get it. They're not feeling it yet.
I'm not asking you, will we do it? I'm saying, is there any way to do it?
Oh, well, there is a way to do it. They just won't do it because the people won't demand it. The people are going along with it. They're complicit.
Lisa's 100% correct.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's feeling the pain enough to require that they turn the ship around. I mean, we all know what it's going to take to turn the ship around.
I don't. I don't know what it's going to take to turn the ship around. That's why I'm asking. I really don't know that. I don't know how we turn this ship around.
Stop spending money. That's how you do it.
$121 trillion in unfunded liabilities. How do we turn that ship around?
The only way they're going to do it is through, and the way they're going to try to do it, and it's going to just keep us floating for a while. If we stopped spending and started a very rapid inflation program, we could inflate our way out of it. But my fear is that we're going to end up like the Weimar Republics of Germany, you know, when it took a wheelbarrow of money to buy a loaf of bread. You know, the inflation got so bad that, you know, people would get paid twice a day. They would go into work and they would get paid at noon and they would run out and buy anything they could find on the shelves, bread, pickles, you know, anything that they had, because it would be, you know, 50% higher when they got off work that evening. And I got to beg your listeners, they've got to start getting some of their assets. Look, if your total net worth is $1,000, you ought to have a couple of $100, 20% of your net worth in silver coins. If you don't have a lot of money, start with silver. It gives you some substance, and it's something that's, you know, you can buy probably six silver coins today for $200, six silver ounces. It's basically $33 an ounce. The day's going to come where that silver coin, because of what has to happen, it's either collapse. If we collapse, what happens to the dollar? It's worth nothing. Your silver coins are worth everything. You may trade your a silver eagle for $1,000, $2,000, $10,000. If the currency collapses, it's not worth $100,000 for one silver coin, because that's all that's going to matter. So that's the worst-case scenario. The best-case scenario is our federal government's going to have to try to inflate their way out of this problem. It's inflate or die. If we go into a deflationary cycle, it'll also cause a collapse. They've got to inflate we've got to have a good dose of inflation. And when that comes, you're going to see the precious metals go through the roof. And the only way to protect you and your family and your assets is you got to have tangibles. And tangibles would be a nice work of art, diamonds, if you know diamonds. Good diamonds, rubies, good gemstones, gold, silver,
oil,
a Picasso. Oil would be a great one. God, if a guy could figure out a way to store, you know, a couple hundred thousand barrels of oil somewhere on his property, man, would that be a great asset to have. Priceless. Every listener here tonight can sit down and figure out what their budget is, how much money they have, how much disposable income they have, and what their net worth is. It's very simple. Take, you know, how much equity you have in your house, your 401ks, your stocks, your bonds, your cash in the bank. your assets around the house, and let's say the average family's worth $160,000, let's say $200,000 for the sake of math, a couple of $100,000 net worth, they've got to immediately go out and get $40,000 worth of their assets or 20% put in gold and silver, because you don't need to know anything about Picassos or diamonds or rubies or how to store oil. Any dummy can go buy an ounce of gold or an ounce of silver, buy it from a reputable broker.
We have a text question here.
Diversifying. It's your Christian duty.
We have a question here from a listener who asks, we said we had $121 trillion as a nation in unfunded liabilities. We have a listener who asks what an unfunded liability is.
You want me to take that? Lisa, do you want to take it?
Yeah, go, one of you go ahead if you want. That's fine.
Go ahead,
well,
Mark.
Go ahead, Mark.
An unfunded liability, it's you know, we can complicate it. Let's just keep it real simple. It's a promise. I promise you at some future date I'm going to give you.
Right.
And all these pensions, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the military, the pensions in Congress, that's all unfunded liabilities because, you see, we've not put any money away. If
right.
we were private organizations, they would put us in jail for this, you see. What they do, if I did as a businessman, I've got 14 corporations I own, and when we do pension stuff, we have to actually take money out of our kitty, and we need to put it into a reserve account so we can actually pay for the promises we're making to our people. Because, you know, we're just greedy businesses, and we're not going to be around anyway. So we got to put the money away. The government, on the other hand, they just write IOUs. They don't put away a nickel. Remember, they keep talking about we're going to put Social Security in a lockbox. It's a lie. They don't have one nickel saved back for one person. Every single person listening that's on Social Security, Medicaid, all the programs combined, there's nothing there. It's a giant Ponzi scheme. They just
right.
put Bernie Madoff in prison for this. Bernie Madoff was a pimple on a gnat's butt compared to what the United States federal government has done with their unfunded liabilities and their Ponzi scheme.
That's our economy talk for tonight. We're going to come back and talk about some of the other things that have gone on this week. We're going to take a quick break, and then Mark and Lisa and I, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about one of the favorite topics still yet in Washington, D.C., future Secretary Rice, maybe, and the Benghazi cover-up.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Missouri Grassroots Radio, this is the Friday Night Roundtable. 17,704 listeners. Call us now, 347-677-1835. Get involved, 347-677-1835. You know, at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we encourage your group to come and to join in. We are a coalition, a broad coalition of patriot groups from across the state of Missouri who have banded together for two reasons. One, so that we could have a consolidated voice of Missouri patriots in Jefferson City, Missouri. And two, so that you can have the support of your fellow patriots when you're in Osceola or Lebanon or Cape Girardeau, and your city council or your county wants to try to tromp on you, and you just don't feel like your 20 or 30 member group is enough to stand up to the wall, we can get you thousands of emails. It's worked. It's worked in several instances. It worked when Lisa brought up a problem that was going on in Hollister, Missouri, and down there they have a very, very small Tea Party group, and she brought that to light, and we put a bunch of emails in the inboxes down there, and suddenly Hollister, Missouri said, oh my God, everybody in Missouri is watching us, and things came out pretty good. That's the thing we do for you, and that you do for us, all of us together, is what it takes. Okay, Susan Rice, she had some meetings this week with the Republicans, and that was supposed to kind of soften her a little bit for taking on the Secretary of State position. It was supposed to bring some of the Republicans over to really understanding where she's coming from and what she's all about. And that didn't go too well for her. And it's all about this Benghazi thing. Mark, where are we at on Benghazi in your mind?
It is by far... what I've read and what I understand, no one really knows exactly what's happening. It's all a big a smoke screen and a shell game right now, but without question, it is probably the largest cover-up and scandal in our lifetime. Maybe in the history of the United States, except for possibly the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Look, Nixon was a third-rate burglary. G. Gordon Liddy, God, do you love him, when he stood up on the House of the, when he stood up on the floor of the Senate chambers and said, Mr. Liddy, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? And he stood up and said, I do not, and sat back down, you know. And, you know, but Nixon resigned over that to avoid impeachment. No one got murdered. It was a robbery that was, it was the cover-up, it was the lie, and it was, they always said, look, it's not what happened, it's the lie of how you handled it afterwards, and this thing is, I cannot believe there's not one person in the media, and again, this would get back to what we were talking about with Lisa, a conspiracy thing. I cannot believe that there's not one person in the media that's not digging, trying to make a name for themselves. Someone's going to blow the lid off this thing, and the sooner the better. Heads need to roll, and maybe presidents need to step down or be impeached. It's an absolute crime what happened. People were murdered. Look, that SEAL, what people don't understand is that Navy SEAL, you're going to have to forgive me for the name, one of the SEALs that died, he was, the reason he joined, his dad's always went on TV with the Flower Church, you know. Anyway, he heard the plea, and he was a mile away, and he fought his way to the compound, and he sat there for 7 hours painting, and painting is a laser light where they paint, they call it painting the target, pointing out to the fighters, because he just knew they were coming, because, you know, a SEAL never leaves anyone behind, and he went to fight, and just knew that the Marines were coming, the Air Force was coming, they were going to come bomb the drones. There was a hundred things they could have done to help those boys. Someone told those boys to stand down. Someone told the military, AFCOM, African Command, they were in an aircraft carrier. They were 45 minutes away. There was a plane in Europe, and I forgot the state. I think it was Italy. And they said, we can have them scrambled in there to an hour and an hour and a half. And they were all told to stand down. Now, I don't believe that Susan Rice has the authority to tell generals and colonels to stand down. There's only one person that has the authority to do that, and that would be the President of the United States, or Leon Panetta under the direction of the President of the United States, Hillary Clinton under the direction of the United States. But Hillary Clinton or Panetta, they don't unilaterally make these decisions. It had to have come from the President. And what's so amazing to me is, we all saw the picture, him sitting there with such a solemn face with his Air Force coat on with his golf shirt underneath during the Osama bin Laden raid. And you know what? And within less than 24 hours, all the beans were spilled. What happened, who did it, how it was done, everything. Boy, we knew it all. But now we're a couple of months after that, and we still don't know who did what. Well, we don't know. We're trying to figure it out, but don't worry about it. We're going to find out who killed our boys, and that'll be the end. No, it won't be the end of it. And I just pray to God that there's some journalist out there that still has a backbone that's going to get to the bottom of this, and maybe someone within a whistleblower within the federal government. Somebody, please, for God's sake, stand up. Somebody knows what's happened here that still has a heart and a conscience, and it needs to be exposed because it is an absolute outrage. And it could be the end of this presidency. It should be. Probably won't be because you've got to have the media support, and they're going to back this guy. But
Lisa, where are we at on this thing? Where are we at on Lisa Rice or on Benghazi in general?
Oh, well, you know, I'll take it a little step further. I think it's treasonous. I think it should be enough to get him thrown out of office, really. I mean, you support and defend the Constitution of the United States. You support and defend our people that are doing that. He didn't do that. He's been sending money to the Muslim Brotherhood and propping up the situation over there, not making it better for us. We've had people die over it. I think he ought to be thrown out of office. I think it's treason.
There isn't any question, because he could have at any time said, you know what, stop the nonsense, tell everybody the truth, let's get to the bottom of this. The reason they can't do that is because it's him.
Well, the evil, and the evil started, in my mind, and I've said this from the beginning, the evil started long, long before 9/11. I mean, the evil started when you have a guy in a consulate in Benghazi where the government has just been overthrown on the anniversary of September 11th, in the first place, without a Marine security division around him.
Boy, is that that's a no-brainer, isn't it?
I mean, listen, yeah. I mean, you go into an embassy in London or any of these quiet, peaceful cities, and there's a whole squad of Marines there with no other job but to protect the embassy and the people inside the embassy.
He was asking for help, and he was denied.
Yes, absolutely.
That's correct. We had 75 Marines on duty in Paris, France, for our consulate there.
Yep.
And one in Libya during the middle of a revolution.
That's right.
It's absolute negligence.
So Susan Rice doesn't get to be Secretary of State, I don't think she does or says anything, to make it happen. I agree with you, but Mark, that of course she wasn't the one who stood down the military, and she wasn't the one who probably even wrote the words on the paper that amounted to the lies she told for 14 days at the United Nations about the tape being the stressor that caused this serial murder. But she's incompetent. And she let herself be part of the bigger lie, and it was a big lie. I mean, Barack Obama does not get to say, you know, I was working with what intelligence I had. We've heard from General Petraeus now. We know better than that. And General Petraeus, who knew within 30 minutes what was going on specifically, isn't a guy who Barack Obama gets his thoughts in a memo the next day. This is a guy who picks up the phone and calls the Oval Office.
There isn't any question about it. It breaks my heart to even think about it.
So what we need to do? We need to do what? We need to. Meanwhile, the president of Egypt has now consolidated all power under himself. He has made an edict that he is no longer a subject of any judicial review in anything that he says or does. He's made himself the supreme dictator. And we continue to send billions.
And you don't think Obama is trying to do that for himself as well?
To make himself a supreme dictator?
Yeah. I mean, the things he's asking for from Congress right now are just outrageous.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. I think he's trying to make himself a supreme dictator, and what president that's ever sat in the Oval Office hasn't wished he was?
Well, no president in the Oval Office has gone to the extremes that Barack Obama has gone to. I mean, I can't believe he says some of these things out loud in public. You know,
make, no president.
Complete autonomy to continue to rise the debt ceiling. I mean, seriously.
No president who sat in the Oval Office would have ever been allowed. That's the difference between Barack Obama and Bill Clinton.
They asked George, first president of the United States, our founding father, would you please be the people begged him to be king? They wanted the King George. And George said, no, that's not what this was about. It's about the people in charge, not a king. We've got to have fair elections and turn them regularly. So to say that everybody wanted it is incorrect. But I agree. You don't think Bush wouldn't have liked a third term, or Clinton, or Bush 1, or Reagan? Any of them would have loved it.
Yeah. And any of them would have loved a little bit more power, a little bit more consolidation, a little bit more authority. And the difference between them and Barack Obama, in my mind, is John Boehner.
Barack Obama's going to get it. The rest of them wouldn't have.
Barack Obama's going to get it. The rest of them would not have. There's no way that Ronald Reagan gets supreme power with Tip O'Neill in office, and there's no way that Bill Clinton gets supreme power with
Newt Gingrich
in office. And right now we have a wimp as the Speaker of the House. We have complicit conspirators, Mark, in the leadership in the Senate. I mean, these are guys in the Senate who are making deals with Harry Reid to backstab the Tea Partiers in the House.
Well, there's always been a lot of that going on, but look, here's the deal. I just wish the guy would quit crying.
Oh, yeah.
You know? My God, are you kidding me? Look, I understand we're all sensitive males today, and we have to all be sensitive and understand and feel for the other person and have compassion. But the Speaker of the House, representing the strongest person in the government today that's a Republican, cries at the drop of a hat? Are you kidding me?
And you know, I'm telling you right now, by the libertarian philosophy of the founders, the person who should be the strongest person in the government, period, the Speaker of the People's House.
You know what? I think you're right, brother.
I think it's time to start looking at their job descriptions and the oath of office that they took when they were elected, and find out where they're falling short. You know, I think. You know, if we're not voting them out, we need to be voting them out. And if they're not upholding their duties, then we need to talk about impeachment on a much wider scale.
I'm ready to hear someone talk about impeachment. I don't hear anybody even getting near that yet.
We're too damn nice. We need to stop being so damn nice and start firing these guys.
Who's gonna do it?
Well, I mean that's where we agree. I think you have, and I think it goes back to the beginning of our conversation at the top of the evening. I think all of these guys are working together to maintain their power structure. They're not going to do anything to work for the people. They're all working together to maintain their position of power.
Except for this, I agree with you. There's no question. They're one hand's washing the other. We had an election. It was the election to end all elections. We had the Tea Party. It was very active. We had people going to churches all across our country. We lost. Who's going to stand up in front of a firing squad and say we need to impeach Obama without some pretty darn good reason and evidence? What reason do we have to impeach Obama? Right now, what hard evidence do we have that Obama should be impeached? We knew everything we know then. We know now. We knew then at the election, and the guy won.
Well, that's true. That's true. You know, I mean, and it takes me back. It takes me and probably Mark, not Lisa, because she's not old enough. But back to you know, I mean, we knew everything there was to know about Watergate, everything there was to know about Watergate before Richard Nixon got reelected.
But all of the issues surrounding Benghazi and all of that scandal, was happening during the election, we didn't have all that information, and most of it unfolded in the few days and the weeks after the election. We didn't have that information. And we still don't have that information.
Well, yeah, and what Mark is saying, I believe, is when we get it, maybe someone will talk about impeachment, but we don't have it right now. Well, I mean, there really is nothing. You know, an impeachment is a criminal trial. There is a trial after an impeachment, but an impeachment is a criminal indictment, and it doesn't take, well, I believe that Petraeus did this, and I believe that Obama did that, and I believe that Susan Rice did that. It does take evidence just like a criminal indictment.
Right, they're not going to turn loose of that evidence unless it's pried out of their cold, dead hands.
Well, that's true, and so we need to get
these committees back to work. We need a whistleblower.
Yeah.
We need a whistleblower or someone in the press that's going to squeeze and press and make this thing happen.
Go find us a deep throat. Somebody needs to go find us a deep throat.
I think the biggest travesty of the year, you know who I believe the time person of the year should be, they should have three people that says press corps written on their chest with the three monkeys, see no evil, hear no evil, say no evil.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the big story, and I think it's been the big story for probably the last 20 years about how the media is so complicit in the actions of what the left. Look, I guarantee if George Bush was having oral sex with Monica Lewinsky, first of all, how about the feminist? My God, I'm going back to Clinton. With Monica Lewinsky, she was a kid. She was working for the federal government. I mean, talk about a power and everything they talk about sexual harassment. This guy broke all the rules. If it was been George Bush, if he just asked her and never performed it, he would have been impeached without question. He would have stepped down. And the reason he didn't is because of the media. Well, they're worse now than they were then. They're way worse now with this Obama than they ever were with Bill Clinton. And
absolutely.
That's my big fear, is that the fourth or fifth pillar, whatever they call the press, is dropping the ball. It's completely let us down.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We have people who openly worship this guy. I mean, there is no subtlety to the press's love for Barack Obama.
Well, you got Chris Matthews talking about the tingle he gets in
his
leg.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, well, we're going to take another little break here, folks. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some other news of the day. We're going to get down to this NDAA vote that they had today in the Senate, what it means, where it could go from there, what the president thinks of it, and... we'll talk about a few other things that happened, then we'll get down to some Missouri stuff.
Missouri's Department of Tourism a few years back used the slogan, "Wake up to Missouri." After this political season, the Tea Party and grassroots movement are in a fight for their lives against the establishment GOP, and I believe we now need a new slogan, "Wake up, Missouri." The Patriot movement has fallen back asleep and are allowing the establishment Republicans to gain a foothold once again and gain control of our state. A couple of years ago, we elected grassroots Tea Party candidates who were compromised by the establishment, and in a short time were no longer putting citizens and state of Missouri first, but the lobbyists and PACs. This past August, Texas, Indiana, Wisconsin, they elected successful Tea Party candidates where we allowed the establishment to bring in their Democratic Union cronies to steal away our election. Wake up, Missouri. We need to unite. We need to get stronger. We need to get smarter. We need to organize the way that we all intended to. It's not too late for Missouri. It's not too late to take a stand and wake up and do what's necessary by getting out and back to our grassroots and talking to our families and neighbors and our friends and church members. attend your local Tea Party meeting, and let your voices be heard once again. Missouri Grassroots Coalition is taking a lead in bringing together those patriot organizations to take a stand in one strong voice to get our message out with the strength to tell the politicians, to tell the candidates, to tell the establishment, we're not taking it anymore. We're madder than hell, and we want our rights, our freedoms, and most of all, we want our state and country back. Join Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Have your group become an affiliate, and let's get this train back on track, steaming towards the depot of victory and freedom. I'm Terry Varner for the Grassroots.
You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
All right, we're back. Listen, folks, that little promo that we just did, this Secret Santa thing, is big. It's the one thing we do at Missouri Grassroots Coalition all year. Where we come and beg you for money. We take whatever we've got, and we go out on Christmas Eve, at the very last minute, and we go to some stores. This year we're targeting four. We're looking for $500. Our goal is four families. We go to box store, Walmart, Kmart, Target. We ask the manager to find us a layaway that has toys in it exclusively, that is not going to be paid off in time for those children to have their toys on Christmas morning. We don't ask why. We don't care whether the family spent too much money on movies and popcorn. We don't care if their car broke down and they just can't get the toys out. We don't care what the reason is. We don't ask the politics of the people. We ask for a layaway. We pay it. The people come. They get the toys. They take it home. They put the toys under the tree. Their children get a Christmas. We get no credit. And it's just a thing that we do because we believe that if we're going to sit around all year long and contend that we don't need the government to take care of people, that we can take care of people, we believe that we probably damn well better do it. And so this is it, folks. We're asking you to go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org right now. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button in the top menu bar and send us some money. Use PayPal. Send us $2, $5, whatever you can afford. We know this is the worst time of the year. That's why we run this thing all year long, starting in January and ending on December 24th, because we know that right now you've got your Santa, your angel trees in every store. You've got the red kettles. You've got the church thing going. You've got the food baskets going. You've got your Lottie Moon Christmas offering or whatever your church's Christmas offering is for foreign missions. You've got it all going right now. And your property tax. My God, whose idea was that? But anyway, do it, though. $2 would help. $3. If everybody in Missouri Grassroots Coalition sent us $2, we would be in heaven. You can really put us in a bind here now by running us over our $500 goal and forcing us, because we've already decided that next year we're going to go for twice as much as we get this year. and forcing us to ask for a big ton of money next year. Really put us on the spot for next year by helping us bust this goal for this year. Our goal is $500. We want to help four families. Your $2, $3, $5, whatever you can afford, we'll help out there. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, the secret Santa button. Use PayPal. And please, please send us a little money. No overhead in this project. Zero overhead. No salaries for anyone at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. No advertising. No cost to this program at all. Every penny you send goes to put toys under some kid's tree. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, Secret Santa, PayPal. Thank you very much. Okay, Mark, Lisa, we're back here. And today, in the Senate, they voted on an amendment to an appropriations bill that stripped any chance that anyone could suspend habeas in the NDAA Act, which had been argued about for a long time. What do you think of that, Mark?
Praise the Lord. You know, all's not lost. Because let me tell you, I especially have something to worry about with this, because I'm the guy that they would like to lock up forever.
Yeah.
Because I don't shut up. I do stand up on the tallest roof and scream and holler about these evil jerks. I do call the President of the United States a liar. He is a liar. I do call the Republicans and the Democrats combined, as they're totally corrupt. The entire system's corrupt, and they want to silence us. And thank God that there's enough good people. And Lisa,
yes.
67-29 on the vote. I think you and I agree on a lot, and I was sitting here thinking over the break, and, you know, that at the top of the hour, I thought, my goodness, that poor girl, I'm just being mean to her. Please don't. I think you and I agree on everything, probably right down the road. I'm just not a conspiracist in any way, shape, or form. And the mere fact that I know I'm right on this issue about the conspiracy is is this vote that he's referring to right here. It's all's not lost. We're going to hell. There's no question about it. How fast are we going to get there is the question. And you know, let's prepare as Christians and as patriots. And prepare food. And I'm not talking about doomsdayers. I'm talking about people that just, you know, you should have 60, 90 days worth of groceries around, canned goods and things to get by. You should have some hard currency. You should have some hard currency, not just gold and silver, but lead, you know, and weapons to properly use it. You should be properly trained to defend, because I truly believe it's going to come to that in some day. And I think there's nothing that the world would love to see more than America on fire. Who's going to survive are going to be us. We're going to be the ones that survive and come out stronger and better than ever.
I personally think that anyone who believes Jesus is so powerful he wouldn't need a gun ought to be locked up indefinitely.
Well, wait a minute. I said that.
We're going to get back to that in a minute, too, Mark. Okay, Lisa. Were you happy with that vote?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We can chalk that up as a victory again for the as far as Missouri goes, for the members of our various patriot groups, Ron Calzone, Missouri Grassroots Coalition, and several other groups put out alerts on this, and the emails and the phone calls were fast and furious to our representatives in Washington D.C. and in a democratically controlled Senate, this thing happened. So there we go. There has been a lot of argument as to whether the NDAA actually ever said what some people say it said, but it's all over now. It doesn't really matter what it said before, because we know what it says now, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of groups. Ron did a great job on that. Rick Perry and the Missouri Conservative Coalition, those guys do great work, by the way.
Right.
They really do. As soon as I got the blast, we sent it to our people. We had 30 or 40 of the Liberty Loyalists respond. You know, people always ask, what can I do? And if we've got 17,000 people listening right now, or 7,000, do you realize just if there was 3,000 people would all make an effort to call when something important like this came up, we can turn the state of Missouri on almost any issue. They do respond. You know, we had Paul Kirtman, who's the great congressman, legislator out of St. Louis area. And I don't know if you ever heard Paul talk, but he's incredible. And you know, Paul did a lot of stuff with when we were forming the Missouri Conservative Coalition. He was very important with that. I'm a member of the Missouri Conservative Coalition. I'm the president of the Liberty Loyalists. But we need to figure out a way to bring the Tea Party groups together. And by us emailing one another, join, if you have a group, join the Liberty Loyalists. You know, it doesn't cost anything. Join the Missouri Conservative Coalition. And when this stuff comes out, what we do is we immediately flip it around and we send an email blast to our people as soon as we can confirm that it's not a conspiracy. And most of the stuff is, by the way, that I get. It's amazing, the stuff you get on the Internet and from your buddies about, oh, my God, you've got to respond now, and you look into it, and it's something that happened in, you know, 1947. The Internet is great, but it's also, you better be very careful what you forward. So we try to vet everything as much as we can. And LibertyLoyalist.com, Missouri Conservative Coalition, MOCC.org. And what we do is that with these organizations is, and the Missouri Grassroots Organization, you guys group, we all need to figure out a way that we can link immediately when things happen, and we can stop things dead in their tracks. Now, national level, we got a big road to hoe. And if there's, 50 states doing the same thing we are, and there are, and we can all figure out a way to link up, we can stop most things. But in the state of Missouri, we have the power. People ask me all the time, well, yeah, I'm just one guy, what can I do? You can pick the phone up and you can call Claire McCaskill or Roy Blunt. You can pick the phone up and call Vicki Hartzler. You can pick the phone up and call the White House, send an email. And when the switchboards light up and the phones jam because people are so upset over something, it does matter and it does reverse things. They've asked me to do a show with you guys in the future. I will. I'm going to tell a story about how we stop something dead in its tracks in Jefferson City. It takes 10 minutes. I don't want to take the time tonight from what we're doing, but everyone needs to get involved and everyone needs to matter. And this is a perfect example about everyone getting up in arms and calling. I guarantee you Claire McCaskill voted against it, I would hope.
She did.
Did she?
Yes.
Well, there you go. Why? Because what Lisa said, they want to get reelected. They want to get reelected, so let's make sure they know what they have to do to get reelected, and that's vote our way.
Okay. All right. Let's shift gears here now. We spent the first half of the show here talking about stuff in Washington D.C. and we are, after all, the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, who believes that it's probably too late to do anything about taking our government back, as far as Washington D.C. goes, until we start building the structure from the base where it belongs, and so we're going to bring it back to Missouri, and we have on January 9th the new legislative session starting, and it looks like the governor is getting a head start with this expansion of Medicare thing. Lisa, what are you thinking of that?
Not real sure. I haven't done a lot of research on it. Don't have all the details. Never really expected the governor to do the right thing anyway. So not thinking that was ever going to be something in our favor to begin with.
Mark? Okay, go ahead, Lisa. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Mark, what's this expansion of Medicare all about?
Well, honestly, I need to brush up on the issue. I can tell you that what it involves is the states picking up the tab without getting into the detail because I don't know them. It's the government. It's typical federal government out of Washington D.C. passing mandates, passing laws that the states have to pick up. And I think 17 states, Missouri is one of them, have refused to participate in this. And they said, you know what? You come set your own exchange up. We want nothing to do with it. And by the way, we're not going to pay for it. And I know that Nixon is fighting desperately to do it. And the little speech I just gave about what can you do as an individual, this is what we can do. You know, we can get on the phone and we can raise hell with everybody. Stop it. We're not paying for this. We can't afford it. And also, besides expanding the program, they want us to pay to implement the mandate. And it's an unfunded mandate, and it's wrong.
Okay, so basically what this is, folks, is in addition to the exchanges, part of Obamacare is a massive expansion in every state of Medicaid. It puts more people on the program because there are still, I'm telling you right now, when the president waves his magic wand and says, okay, everybody can get insurance now, there's still going to be a hell of a lot of people who can't afford insurance, even on the exchange. Those people are going to fall into the new expanded Medicaid program. We're talking about people who prior to this didn't qualify for Medicaid, but chose for financial reasons not to buy insurance. And those people are going to fall in the new Medicaid program, and there are going to be more and more and more of those people because a lot of employers now are going to stop buying any health care insurance for their employees at all. So this program actually expands Medicaid, and the federal government pays for this for the first 10 years with a phase out to the 10-year point, to where at the end of the 10 years, we are going to be footing the entire bill for the now triple-sized Medicaid program in the state of Missouri. The seller for the Nixonites is, well, look, it's free money from the federal government. It's $24 billion a year that the federal government is giving the state of Missouri, and all we got to do is say that more people can have Medicaid. Yeah, exactly right. And Nixon is selling this. He's selling it hard. He's out campaigning on it today. There's going to be a lot of trying to figure out how to get this through the legislature. And so, like Mark and Lisa were both saying earlier, I mean, it's going to be on us to stay vigilant every day of the legislative session to keep those. Listen, I hope I'm not tromping on Mark's toes, because I hope this isn't the story that he was going to tell. But last legislative session, poor Engler, God rest his soul, was bound and determined to get his ban meth thing, Sudafedrin thing passed, where you had to actually go to your doctor and get a prescription before you could get Sudafed at the over the counter from the pharmacist with a prescription. The war on drugs. And he pushed this thing, and he finagled it, and he made promises for votes, and he dillied it around, and he started two bills off in each session, in each house, to try to meet in the middle, and there's, you know, he tabled it, and then he brought it back, and he tabled it, and he brought it back. And then it was coming up for a vote. And every grassroots group in Missouri got on the ball. And I am telling you, just like Mark said, I was listening to the debate. It was live. I was listening to it into the wee hours of the morning. And there was a filibuster that stopped this thing from happening and caused Engler to give up on it. For that session, I say, because it's coming back, folks. And this filibuster went on all night long until Engler finally withdrew the bill. And if you had listened to that, you would have been brought to tears, because the six standout members of your legislature, senators, who had the gall to stand up and make this thing not happen, spent the entire time in the filibuster reading the letters, the emails, the phone call transcripts from you folks out there, and that is what made this not happen. So do it. I mean, listen, we're talking here about the future. There is going to be a big push. I'm telling you that long before Obamacare came about, the Republican legislature wanted to install insurance exchanges in the state of Missouri. There's going to be a huge push for that. All you folks said in Prop C is the governor can't do it by himself. Prop E. What was it? Lisa, Prop E, wasn't it?
Prop E.
Prop E. We said that the governor couldn't do it. It did not. In fact, it said it could only be done with the legislature or if we vote on it, which isn't going to happen. So there's going to be some attempts. There's going to be some attempts to make this happen. What did you say, Lisa?
The legislature will do it.
They'll try. They'll try. And so it's going to be up to you folks out there to keep that from happening. It's going to happen unless you make it not happen. Mark, weigh in on that.
Look, I just keep getting back to the same thing. The federal government has four things they should be doing. There was originally four federal laws. There's thousands now. They're so out of control. And I think what happens is if there was one or two things we could combat, but it's coming at us in waves. It's out at the whole thing is broken. The end is going to be a collapse. These are just more. Oh my God! Now he's got a broken arm. Oh, he's got a broken finger. Oh, he's got a broken rib. Oh, he's bleeding. Oh, he's got a collapsed lung. The whole body's dying. And it's dying little by little by these mandates that are all unconstitutional. And they told us exactly what was going to happen to us in the Constitution. Look, you know what? It's not worth the continental dime means. It all gets back to the money. Everything. Do you know what that saying means? That's not worth a dime. It's not worth the continental dime. Because the Continental Congress did the same thing we're doing now. That was the British rule, still under British rule. We determined that we are going to have physical restraint on the federal government. It's completely broken. Everything's broken. This is just a little sliver of the whole deal. We can fight it all we want, but it's going to drain us. How about the fact that they're now wanting us to bail out the pension funds for California? Look, my kids don't make the money that these federal workers make in Illinois and California. They don't work for me. I won't let them. I have three boys in their mid-20s. They bust their butts. Half of their buddies are collecting unemployment because they make more money not working than they would if they worked. These kids are out working. They're busting their behinds. They're working 60, 70 hours a week trying to get ahead because I've instilled in them the work ethic, and this is what you have to do. And now we're going to take our money to fund the pension fund for people making a couple of hundred grand a year that never funded their own salary worth a nickel. And you got teachers making $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year that work 9 months a year and get 3 months off and all the sick time and vacation and free medical and free everything. My kids don't get any of that. They have to pay for their own pension. And then now they have to not only pay for the teacher's pension, but pay for the past promises because of the unfunded liabilities. Your number was, what did you say, $121 trillion nationwide,
yep,
if you add it all together?
Yeah.
My kids are going to pay for this. What? Yep. Why? Why don't they just quit? I mean, I really ought to sit down and say, boys, you know what? I got to change heart. Everything I told you is a lie. Don't do a damn thing. Go buy a bag of pot and a six-pack of beer, sit around and party, enjoy your life, and collect about $3,500 a month, and I'll give you another grand. You'll live rich.
Exactly.
I mean, because that's where we're at. And this is just another symptom of the exact same thing.
Idiot.
It's something for nothing.
Yep.
Look, these kids, why would you ever – do you know that you cannot be turned down for medical care because of pre-existing condition? So you wait until you go to the doctor. It's free. The doctor says, oh, my God, you've got lung cancer. Oh, I better go buy insurance.
I need
help.
That's right.
It's a joke.
That's right. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Why would anybody buy insurance?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen under Obamacare. And you folks who haven't picked up on this yet, I mean, I can pay for myself and my wife $650 a year penalty for not buying a $3,500 a month policy. I can pay a $635 a year penalty. I can pay a $635 a year penalty for not buying a $3,500 a year policy. And as soon as I get lung cancer
or sick of any kind, break
or
an
sick,
arm.
Yeah. Then I can go out and buy insurance. I can buy insurance for the same $3,500. They'll cure me. They'll get me in remission. And then all I got to do is quit buying the insurance again and pay the $635 a year penalty. How many insurance companies, I mean, I don't want to say how many insurance companies because there's got to be a way. I mean, the insurance companies wanted this thing. So.
No, sir. some of the insurance companies are going to get to maintain and handle the exchanges wanted it. Most
insurance vendors
don't want it.
That's true. And the exchange, and that's a good point, Mark, because already the insurance companies are in Washington, D.C. trying to figure out what to do because these states aren't doing the exchanges. I mean, they counted on these exchanges. They counted on this expand the insurance companies and the hospital associations counted on this expanded Medicaid. And if it's not going to happen in 17 to 25 states, they're screwed.
Well, yeah, and you know, AARP, I got to tell you, I hate to admit it, but if you're over 50, you qualify. I canceled my AARP. I canceled it. I said, you know what? You guys are nothing more than a political party now. You're supposed to be defending seniors.
Absolutely.
How in the world is putting a IRS agent and a government bureaucrat between an elderly person and their doctor, and this the IRS agent and the bureaucrat's worrying about saving money? That's their job. Look,
that's right.
It's just like underwriting a car wreck. Oh, my God, we got a wrecked car. How cheap can we fix it? You know what? That car's totaled. Don't spend any more money on it. That's what's going to happen. And Sarah Palin was right when she said death panels. If you're an 88-year-old person and you got a broken hip, guess what? You get painkillers. You don't get a new hip. That's what's going to happen. And AARP knew this. They sold these people down the road. And everybody listen, if you're a member of AARP, cancel. Send them a deal and say, pound salt, I'm done, guys. There's another one. MMAM, whatever it is, you get all the same discounts, all the same support, the whole deal, and they're an organization, they're a conservative organization, it's apolitical. They don't want to get involved in politics at all, and they're certainly not going to endorse Obamacare that in the end is going to shorten the average life expectancy of the people in AARP is going to go down because of Obamacare.
That's
period.
Right.
And AARP got in line because you know why? They got $1.3 billion worth of donations and benefits from this thing when they sold out to Obama. It was like the Cornhusker kickback and Louisiana Purchase and all the other nonsense that went on to get this to happen.
Lisa, haven't heard from you in a while. What's up?
I'm pretty much agreeing with you folks.
Lisa doesn't get it yet, Mark. She's only 30 years old, so she doesn't qualify for AARP for quite a while yet.
Now, you're not allowed to talk about a lady's age. My pop always told me that was disrespectful.
Yeah, check's in the mail, Dave.
Yeah, I was about to say, Lisa doesn't mind me talking about her age like that any day. So here we go. Here we go down the road. Missouri legislature coming to town. These are two things that are going to be on the table. Now, pay attention, because Speaker Tim Jones has called this session the what session, Lisa?
I don't know. What has he called it? The education session.
Education session. So
Lord, help us all.
Jones is going to take care of all you folks' education this session, and Lisa, you're our education expert. What does that mean to us?
That means that he's going to continue to subscribe to all the liberal educational reform policies that he's been subscribing to in the past. He's absolutely not going to do a damn thing to help education or help the kids in Missouri become educated or to fix the budget. What they're going to do is they're going to do everything within their power to expand charter school initiatives, which will ultimately be a huge financial disaster for Missouri, and children will not be any better educated than they were before. You all remember the busing issue here in St. Louis?
Yes, very well.
Well, that's what the Charter School Initiative is, except they're just repackaging it in a different box. What they're going to do is just allow children to go to school, cross boundaries in charter schools across the state, with your tax money, of course, following them, and they're not going to get any better education because we have Common Core standards here in Missouri, as we do across the country, and charter schools are really going to be just repackaged and repositioned public schools because they're all going to be teaching the same curriculum.
Okay, and more importantly to you Patriot folks out there, Lisa, the bottom line for us is that all of these things, either intentionally or not, undermine private and home education, don't they?
Oh, in a huge way. I mean, basically what this whole situation is with Common Core standards is they're trying to get private and home-educated students under the same umbrella so that they're all accountable. Common Core standards, without going into the whole going into the weeds to explain it, everything about Common Core standards relies on the assessments. So all of the curriculums will be aligned so that you can pass the assessment tests. And if you ever intend for your children to go to college, they're going to have to be able to pass the assessments. So when your kids are taking the SATs and the ACTs in high school and they've gone to a private school or they've been homeschooled and they can't pass the assessments and won't be able to get into college, you're going to start screaming because all of the other kids who've been in charter schools and public schools are passing those assessments because they've all been taught the Common Core curriculum.
So, am I right?
Indoctrinated, you mean?
Yeah. That's
so,
what I mean.
So, am I right here? If you homeschool your child, or if you put your child in a parochial school, church or otherwise, it doesn't matter, because you want them to learn American history the way it happened instead of the way it's being taught, they're going to actually try to force you to teach it the way they want it taught because that's what your kid's going to have to know to go to college.
Well, they're not going to force you, and they'll tell you right now, Dave, it's all voluntary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But your kid can't be
forced to do anything.
But your kid can't go to school unless he knows how many slaves Thomas Jefferson knocked up, right?
There you go.
Yeah. And he doesn't particularly have to know that Patrick Henry was a libertarian who believed that liberty was more important than life, as long as he knows that George Washington had 13 slaves.
Right. Or whatever else it is that they decide is – you know, and you know, your kids will be taking sex education in kindergarten, and you know they'll be indoctrinating them, you know, on all kinds of issues. You know, we can't even fathom at this point. You know, there won't be any teaching Christianity, but you'll know everything there is to know about the Muslim religion, or you know, any other type of religion. Your kids will know.
I have two of my children are still in college. I can't believe I'm paying for it. It's amazing that it's not me. You know, I got to tell you, I don't pay for things I don't believe in. I just don't do it, period. And these kids, one of them's at MU, and he said, Dad, you have no idea. I said, what do you mean? He says, if you came here, you would pull me out of school immediately.
Yeah.
He said, it's that bad. He said, it is. It's not even close to nothing's fair, nothing's balanced. One of the teachers, every time anyone mentions God or Bush or a Republican, or Romney, the teacher hisses like she's an evil witch. Every time someone says, well, God, according to the Bible, he said, Dad, it's unbelievable theatrics.
There was so, this little... There was this...
You really ought to record it and, you know, wait till you get out of college and expose this whole thing. He said, Dad, if I got caught, it would be the end of me. I would never, ever, ever get a degree. You told me I got to have a degree. Now, what do you want? Do you want a degree? Do you want me to get along, or do you want to expose the liberals? He said, we already know what they are, Dad. So it's got to start at home, and I think the answer is homeschooling on this whole issue.
Well, what do we...
College.
Yeah.
Let's have homeschool colleges.
Well, yeah.
We are, actually.
We could do that. What is that good for when you walk into a law firm and want to get a job?
Well, let me tell you something, partner. What's that, Hillsdale College?
Yeah.
If I were an employer, and I am, and a guy comes in and he's got a master's degree in the liberal arts, guess what? I'm probably not going to hire that guy. All right? I got to tell you, because they all want something for nothing. The guy that's 32 years old, never worked a day in his life, or 28, but he's got the master's degree and he's got all the theory, that guy's not a worker. That guy needs to go get a job in a college. Because he can't do another thing but other than indoctrinate the same indoctrination he had. In fact, I'm to the point in my deal where I don't even care. I never have. I don't have a college degree. I don't care about college. I want someone, look, you give me attitude over aptitude any day of the world and we'll conquer it. You give me 50 guys with the right attitude that want to conquer the world, that are willing to go to work, that are willing to work hard and have a work ethic, and we can do whatever needs to be done. You give me 30 guys and 20 guys with a really great, they're smart, they're bright, but oh, I don't know if I'm going to do that. Oh, do you really think that's a good idea? Those people? Oh, no, I don't think so. We'll fail. Get those people out of your life if you're a businessman. Get the negative, the people with the bad attitudes that are smarter than everybody else, get them the hell out and hire somebody that wants to go to work and make a living that still believes in God and country.
Okay, so let's get down to what's real here now. Everybody can't homeschool. Everybody can't buy a slot in the Catholic school downtown. So what do we do about public education?
Run.
The only way that you're really going to fix public education is to get the public money out of it.
School choice.
So,
she's right.
You know, stop collecting tax dollars for public education. Give the tax dollars back to the people. Let private industry control education. If you want to have institutional schools, if you want your children to go to institutional schools, pay for them privately. Most private schools at any level have endowment funds for the underprivileged. And there's no reason to think that they wouldn't continue to do so. So you're never going to fix the education problem. And here's the problem with public education in Missouri. Most of the legislature looks at public education in terms of the urban areas, Kansas City and St. Louis, and they look at that as it's the cultural issues, and nobody's got the nerve to talk about it. They're worried about if they don't do something with those kids are going to end up in prison. So to them, public education is the fix to keeping the prison population problem from exploding, and that's where your tax dollars are going. You'll spend $16,000 per child, or in excess of, in St. Louis to send a child to school, whereas in the county or somewhere outstate you'll spend less than $10,000, between $5,000 and $10,000, depending on what school district you're in, okay, and probably get better results outside of the urban areas. Nobody will address the cultural issues associated with education.
Is mandatory attendance part of the problem?
Yeah, you could probably say that. You know, now, here's the deal. Okay, because we all want to have...
I mean, I realize you don't want to get too libertarian on us here, Lisa, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all want our population to be an educated population. You know, it benefits us all to have, you know, to have an educated populace. You know, you really do want your kids to go to school. But the reality is, and at the risk of sounding like a libertarian, you know, it's not the state's job to tell me how to raise my kids. You know, do I think every kid should go to school? Yes, I do. But, you know, in reality, is it my job to tell you how to raise your child? Not really. You know,
Mark, is mandatory attendance part of the problem?
No. Look, the problem is, I disagree with Lisa again, and I'm sorry, Lisa. I think we disagree on a lot of different things. You cannot take all the money out of education. Guess what? Education's paid for with money. No one's going to teach. We're not going to buy books. We're not going to have heat and cool and warm. What we need to have is a true school voucher system. And you know what? If we're sending it to people in Detroit and they want to send, and the Muslim people want to send their kids to a Muslim school, we need to have true choice and free our children from the bondage of the federal government.
Well, how are you going to get true school choice when you are first sending your money to the federal government and they are dictating how that money...
No, listen. I agree we need the federal government out of everything. Now, see Lisa, there's an issue here, and I don't want to be condescending with you because I know you're a good patriot and you're trying to do your part, but there's positives in things. Look, you called Paul Kirtman, who I happen to find one of the most premier congressmen in the state of Missouri. I would walk through a wall for this guy. I've donated money to him. He's come to my rallies, driven across the state to speak about the Constitution and the federal government's place, and you blasted him just a few weeks ago as being part of the establishment. We've got to stop eating our own. We have to all get together. We have to say, you know what? There is a common ground here. Paul Kirkman's a good man. Paul Kirkman should be governor. Paul Kirkman should be president. He's better than anybody on a national stage. And we as a Tea Party, at least part of us and being you, are attacking this man because he's not part of the establishment. But you've got to get along. You just can't go in and say, nope, 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 nope. You've got to, it's called compromise. Our Constitution was founded on a compromise.
How did Paul Kirkman come into this conversation?
Well, because I'm just thinking
about... We're talking about education. Where does Paul Kirkman fit into this?
Well, Paul Kirkman comes in because of the thing of you were referring to the fact that, well, we have to get it. Look, we have to agree, first of all, the federal government is wrong. The federal government shouldn't be involved in education at all. But when the money goes, every parent should get a voucher. And if they want to send it to a Christian school or a Buddhist school or a secular school or an atheist school, it should not be the government's business. But the point I was making about the Paul Kirkman thing was this, is that we have to step back and breathe as a party and accept each other and quit attacking each other. Look, I made a simple comment.
I don't understand how my statement about how federal government should not be controlling educational dollars has anything to do with any of this.
Well,
what it
was referring to was is that you got naysayers and you got negatives. You got negatives, and you know it was just another negative to me. I'm just thinking about one of the greatest guys I know in politics today. Probably, no, I'm going to take all that back. The greatest guy I know in politics today is a guy named Paul Kirkman. But we as a Tea Party, some of us, and that means you, are attacking this guy because he doesn't say what it's. Look, I
when
got up here yesterday to talk about what happened when I made a comment to the Liberty Loyalists.
When I attacked Paul Kirkman?
What's that?
When did I attack Paul Kirkman?
You attacked him at a rally a few weeks ago, and you called him part of the establishment.
Which rally was that?
I don't remember. Look, I watch I watch hours and hours of stuff every day. You made a comment to Paul that he was part of... Let me ask
Mueller.
Yes, you this, Lisa. You made a comment that Paul Kirkman was part of the establishment. Did you make the comment that Paul Kirkman is the problem and part of the establishment?
When?
I'm not asking you I'm asking you if. In the last month, have you ever made a comment that Paul Kirkman was part of the establishment?
I think that they're all part of the establishment.
Okay, that's my point right there. You just stepped in it yourself. They're not all part of the problem. I just supported Ann Emery, and I'd go to the wall for Ed. I'd go to the wall for Paul Kirkman. And if we as a Tea Party keep pushing these people away, and that's what you're doing, you're pushing them away.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but need to be held accountable.
You know anything about Paul Kirkman?
I know a lot about Paul Kirkman.
You know anything about Ed Emery?
No, I don't know anything about Ed Emery.
And you just said they're all part of the problem. You don't even know who Ed Emery is.
I just said they're all part of the establishment, and I think they all need to be held accountable.
Well, I will grant you one thing. They do all need to be held accountable.
Excuse me,
there's no
things.
Question.
You need to really listen to what I say. I think they're all part of the establishment. They all need to be held accountable, and you need to understand what the difference is if you're going to call me out in public.
I am calling you out in public, and I'm calling you out in public because we as the Tea Party, look, I got called out in public. The reason I'm on the air right now is a couple of days ago I made a comment. I did, Human Events called me and asked me to do an article. I did. I told them the Liberty Loyalists supported Mark Rubio for president and that we were also going to, in the same vein, ask the other Tea Party groups in Missouri to get in line with us if they would please consider supporting Rubio as well, so we could be the first Tea Party group statewide to come out and support Mark Rubio. The amount of hate I got, the amount of hate mail I got, you would have thought I was Barack Obama's henchman. You would have thought I was Eric Holder or Barack himself, because I dared mention, you need to clear this with us before you speak. It's like it's nonsense. And my whole point when I got on the air yesterday is we need to learn as a Tea Party group, as a conservative, as a libertarian, which I am, and Lisa, I believe you're a libertarian as well, we need to learn that we need to take someone that's standing in the trenches, taking bullets, taking arrows in the back and getting punched in the face, and not label and tar and punish those people.
Okay,
and
Mark.
The Ed Emerys and the Paul Kirkmans of the world, there's some great people out there doing great work, and we need, they're not all bad, Lisa.
So
they're not all bad.
I've got a question, though, Mark. I mean,
how far do we go with that? I mean, when Paul Kurtman stands up in the legislative session and supports the Common Core, which is the destruction of public education in the state of Missouri, and supports what's Barack's No Child Left Behind thing?
Race to the Top.
Supports Race to the Top.
And I don't know that he ever has.
I mean, where do you stop? Where do you stop?
First of all, I would I don't know any of those things you just said to be factual, but let's grant that they are factual.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Are you married?
Yeah.
Do you and your wife agree on everything?
No.
Yeah. I'm married. We don't agree on half the stuff.
Right.
But we still pull together as a family and as a group, and we have a common cause, and the common cause is to raise our children and to, you know, retire with some money, hopefully, God willing, and to make a better life for our children than we have. I don't say, well, my wife doesn't agree with me driving 100 miles an hour in race cars. To hell with her. She's part of the establishment. Get rid of her. No, I love my wife, and we disagree on a lot of things. And it's the same conversation we're having now as Tea Party organizations. We need to learn to get along, and we need to stop attacking and labeling each other.
Okay,
we need
here's
to stop
what we
all
really
the hate within
to
the
Ms.
Tea Party
Muller,
group.
And I'm going to tell you right now what needs to be done. We need to stop treating our elected like rock stars. I have never attacked Paul Kurtman, and you need to understand that because I see Paul Kurtman as the establishment and I think he needs to be held accountable for everything that he does not mean that that is an attack. And that is not an undermining of anything that he's doing. Whether or not he is truly supporting the Patriot movement or not.
Let me ask you a question. Has Paul done anything right in your opinion?
City, he needs to be held accountable. And when you start idolizing these elected people, like so many people do with Paul Kurtman, you put him in a position where he is not going to be held accountable and his feet will not be held to the fire. Now, I have some issues with Paul Kurtman. I have not publicly attacked him. I don't agree with a lot of the things that he's doing because I think that he can put some more substance behind what he's saying. I would like to see him do that. If I ever do see him do that, I will recognize that.
Lisa, I can only pray that he does something to please you, because forget about the rest of us. We just need Lisa to recognize Paul. You know, maybe he's voting his heart and his courage. Let me ask you a question. Has Paul done anything right?
You're giving me
an awful
lot of power here. I have not got that much power.
Has Paul done one thing right?
Up on a pedestal like some other patriots shouldn't make a bit of difference to you or Paul Kurtman.
Well, let me ask you a question. Has he done anything right?
What Lisa Nager said.
Have anything positive to say about any legislators, or do we just attack all of them, or we just head for anarchy?
Dave and I had a conversation in private earlier today, and we had this very same conversation. There are very few people that I think, once they get into Jefferson City, stay the course. Now, I think there are some people with some very good voting records. I think that most of them have strayed in one way or another. But there are people that I do think that have done some good things. Dave and I had this conversation earlier today. Isn't that correct, Dave?
We did.
Let me ask you again, Lisa. You haven't answered me. Has Paul done anything right since he's been in the legislature? Can you name one thing good he did, or we're just going to attack his bad?
In my opinion,
this is what's wrong with the splintered Tea Party. Tell me one thing that you think Paul Kurtman's done right.
I think Paul Kurtman brings a lot of attention to constitutional issues.
Okay, do you not believe in that Constitution? Paul Kurtman would be? See, we're never going to have.
What
if
is my
you want everyone to vote and think exactly like you do? You need to run for the seat. Otherwise,
didn't
you need to sit down.
Me, what did I think? One good thing that Paul Kurtman did. I think Paul Kurtman brings a lot of attention to constitutional issues. What is your problem with that?
No, I don't have any problem with that. In fact, that's very refreshing. You know, I helped a local,
so
I'm going to use his name,
really,
I hope he doesn't mind.
I think what you have a problem with, Mr. Mueller, is me personally.
I don't even know who you are, Lisa.
I don't have a problem with you.
What I have a problem with is Tea Party people attacking legislators because they don't bow down and kiss their feet because they may have said something or done something that you or anybody else disagrees with. And my whole point with the Tea Party movement from the beginning is We need to come together as an organization.
There should be beholden to all of the people that have that the our taxpayers and have elected them.
Everybody that elected them has 100,000 different
agendas. Not the other way around.
They can't be beholden to everybody.
I think they need to be beholden to everybody because they're elected public servants. They work for you. They work for me. It's not the other way around.
They
should not be held on a pedestal. They should be accountable for everything they do or say as long as they hold the office.
So that was my question. My question was, and it goes to both of you, and I know where Lisa's going to come from on this because she's this no rock star thing. Can we never say anything bad about someone who is 99% good?
No, I agree with you 100%. They must, and I agree with Lisa. They all need to be held accountable without question. But the problem is when someone like Lisa gets up and attacks a Paul Kurtman, and it was an attack. Lisa, can I
please? You have not answered my question. Answer it.
I didn't know that you asked me a question. I thought that the gentleman on the other end asked me a question.
Several times this evening, when did I attack Paul Kurtman? When?
You attacked him in a Missouri Conservative Coalition meeting in Jefferson City, Missouri.
You
attacked him and told him he was the problem and that he was the establishment.
You better have some better answers than that because there were some people at that meeting. I did not attack Paul Kurtman at that meeting. I was attacked personally at that meeting by a very good friend of yours.
You didn't tell him that he was part of the problem? That he was the establishment?
I think Paul Kurtman is part of the establishment.
Let me just tell you
something. You're going to come on the air and attack me personally. I think Paul Kurtman is part of the establishment. I think they're all part of the establishment. I think they all need to be held accountable.
But why should he do one thing to help you or your cause if you're going to attack him on something because
I attack Paul Kurtman?
Excuse me?
When did I attack Paul Kurtman?
So basically, the problem right here is that when Lisa says this person is part of the establishment, she does not consider that attack. She considers that a statement of just the way the world is. When Mark hears the word establishment, it has some negative connotation to it, some seriously negative connotation to it. Am I right?
Oh, well, let me just tell you something. If I was fighting the good fight that Paul Kurtman or Emery or Matt Bartle fought or a Democrat in the name of Harold Caskey fought and I was in there fighting my conscience, she said they've got to be Lisa's comment is they need to be answerable. They need to keep us happy. Well, us as thousands and thousands of people, we all have different agendas. They need to go in and they need to vote their conscience and do what's right and hope at the end of the day they've done more good than bad. The mere fact that someone may vote against something you disagree with or maybe do something that isn't right, and to call them part of the establishment is especially if you're a Tea Party supporter, which Paul Kurtman is and Ed Emery, if you're part of the group that's trying to break the establishment and someone like Lisa goes to a meeting when you're taking arrows in the back from the Republicans in your own party, partner, Paul Kurtman's getting punched in the face on a daily basis by the Republicans, not the Democrats. We won't even talk about the Dems. I'm just talking about the ones that are supposed to be on the same side. And when someone like Lisa stands up in a meeting of Missouri Patriots and says, you're part of the problem, you're part of the establishment, that is an insult to the man.
Mueller, that was a closed meeting between a few members of MOCC and a few members of MGC. That was never a meeting that was supposed to be broadcast on the air.
It certainly wasn't a rally, and it wasn't saying something in public. Now, I will say that.
True.
Well, let me ask you a question then. If I shouldn't have said that, you know, geez, I thought we're having an open discussion here, but if I shouldn't have said it, I didn't. But let me ask you, I did, I'm sorry. But let me ask you this. It's been said, it's been done, so it's okay to attack people as long as you don't do it in public. Is that correct, Lisa?
Okay, again, I didn't attack Paul Kurtman, and again, you weren't at the meeting. We had several representatives of the MOCC crowd there at the meeting, and nobody heard me attack Paul Kurtman.
And I am part of the MOCC. I'm a member and a founding member of the MOCC. Just because I wasn't there at the meeting doesn't give me a right to understand and hear what happened at it.
You're getting your information secondhand, and you're accusing me publicly of doing something I didn't do.
I'm just telling you. I didn't accuse you. Admitted, Lisa. You just said yes. You're part of the problem, Paul. You're part of the establishment, and I'm telling you, these guys are going to stop taking bullets and stop taking arrows and stop getting punched in the face for people like me and you if we can't stand by and support these people.
And arrows
for
anybody.
Okay, wait a second now. Okay, now I want and because I want to wind this down because we're running out of time here real fast. Okay, in the first place, Mark, I kind of have to, I'm not taking any sides, but I kind of have to say there is a significant difference between a sit down at a table with three or four people where I say to you, Mark, you know, you're off on the wrong foot here. You're doing something wrong. And me standing in front of a rally and publicly saying that you're a bad guy. Okay. There's a significant difference between those two things.
I agree 100%.
Okay.
But it still does the same – but I'd like to interrupt you for one moment.
Okay,
sir.
Yeah.
It still accomplishes the same thing to the man's psyche that he feels, whether she felt it was an attack or you felt it was an attack, is irrelevant. This man felt it was a personal assault on him.
He wasn't even there.
And, well, how does everyone know about this, including Paul, then?
Because I'm sure he told him.
Well, that's my point. If these guys are going to take the arrows, if they're going to take the fight, we got to stand by them. And, you know, we have to say, you know what, maybe the guy didn't vote the way I wanted, but
Paul's
not part of the establishment.
And do his job. He doesn't need to worry about me. For as long as he's going to Jefferson City and he's supporting and defending the Constitution and doing what the people of his district asked him to do, I should be very insignificant to Paul Kurtman. I don't know why anybody at MOCC – Kurtman or anybody else in Jefferson City gives a flying flip about what I think in the first place. I don't have to agree with these folks. My opinion is that they're all part of the establishment once they get to Jefferson City. They all need to be held accountable for what they do. And I have a right to my opinion, but they don't have to care about my opinion if they don't want to because they have other constituents to serve. What I think of Paul Kurtman shouldn't matter to him or Annette Reed or anybody in MOCC.
I'm just one person. I wasn't at the meeting, so I didn't even realize till right this second that Paul Kurtman wasn't there. So what basically now, an attack on Paul Kurtman was Lisa saying something
Paul
to
Kurtman
what
was never, he was never brought up in that meeting as a directed nobody ever directly pointed him out or said anything about Paul Kurtman at that meeting at all.
Kurtman is
a representative from another district. I don't agree with him on everything. You know, a lot of people like him, and that's fine. I don't think he should be put on a pedestal. I don't think any of them should be put on a pedestal. They all work for me, and they all work for you, and they all work for all of the people of Missouri, and it's not the other way around. We don't work for them.
This is what's wrong with our movement. I, Lisa, and the rest of us. I'm not casting stones at Lisa at this moment, or myself. Excuse me. I'm casting stones.
Well, I think you are, Mr. Muller. I think you are casting stones.
Go ahead.
What I'm
ready
to say is, including myself, Lisa, we need to stop savaging our own. We need to stop taking – look, we're never, ever, ever going to have somebody that does exactly – Lisa, if you want them to vote exactly what you think –
There's a problem with that statement. He's not our own. He's an elected representative.
I think if you let me finish and not interrupt me, I think we could do a lot better in this conversation, Lisa. I really do. But – and I'll be happy to listen. Go ahead and I'll finish when you're through.
Okay. I'll tell you. He's not our own. He's an elected representative from the people of his district. He's a public servant. He's there to serve the people. He's not there to be worshipped. He's there to do the
work.
Now, if I respond to this,
can I make an entire statement without you interrupting, please?
Sure.
He is one of us. He does believe in the Constitution. He is one of our own. And this is why our tent, Lisa, gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller because of people fighting. Infighting, me including you. I'm taking the blame I'm saying me, Lisa. We have to figure out a way as a group to stop attacking each other, stop labeling each other, and come together and say, you know what? We have a common enemy. He's at the door. And it's not Paul Kurtman, and it's not
me.
Well,
you know, as long as Paul Kurtman...
Wait a minute, let me finish.
As long as Paul Kurtman is doing what people want him to do, there's not a problem, is there?
See, you didn't let me finish. The problem isn't me, and the problem isn't you, and the problem isn't Paul Kurtman. That's not the enemy.
Well, I think at the beginning of the conversation, the problem was me.
I never said the problem was you, Lisa. I said the problem is all of us attacking and savaging each other. I just happened to use you as an example, taking a guy that's getting smashed in the face every day by the Republican Party.
I'm sorry that that's happening to Mr. Kurtman. I know he's had a particularly tough year. He ran a pretty hard campaign, but that doesn't really have anything to do with me.
It does when you label him as part of the establishment, when he's the guy trying to fight to change. Why doesn't he throw his arms up and say, you know what, I might as well put my hand out in the till, get all I can get, figure out where the next road's going through, make sure my brother gets a piece of it, and help my brother get the contract.
Okay.
Help my brother-in-law get the contract for cleaning the school buses in St. Louis.
I need to know.
Not doing
I need
any
to know.
Of this stuff.
All right.
We need to pull together.
I need to know something here, and this is going to be the last word. I need to know if earlier this evening, when I said something about the prescription drug bill, was I attacking Kevin Engler, and if so, was that unwarranted?
I don't believe so.
Okay. That puts it in a place for me, and we will continue this discussion, I'm almost certain, next Friday night at the roundtable. But we're out of time for tonight. Lisa, what you got coming up Wednesday?
Okay, Wednesday night we're going to have Bev Pearlson from the Band of Mothers. She's going to talk a little bit about Benghazi and the gun running issue. We didn't get to have her on last week. Hopefully, and maybe we can get an update from her. I haven't asked her, so we'll have to check it out with her. The last time she was on my show, she talked about the closing of Guantanamo Bay and the possible moving of those prisoners to an Illinois prison. So hopefully we'll get an update on that as well. And the rest of it is kind of up in the air at this point. We will again have Ray Cuneo on, as we do, to expand on those flagged buzzwords of Agenda 21.
Okay, and Thursday, Kevin comes along with another edition of Hillbilly Logic. And Mark, you're going to become a regular part of this thing now, huh?
Yeah, I am. And what I'm going to do coming up is I'm going to send Lisa flowers so I don't alienate everybody in Missouri in the Tea Party.
Okay, and on Monday, for the last Monday night Hour of Truth, and then the Hour of Truth moves to Friday, and these two things are going to switch. Monday night in the Hour of Truth, we pick up where we left off. We left, this is Constitution 101. We have to go all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to defining who the founders were and what their political ideology was. We had to go all the way back to why they got on a boat in England, and why they sailed over here, and we talked last about the Mayflower Compact, the first real piece of paper that defined a government by the people. And we left these people with two small settlements, one at Plymouth and one at Jamestown. We're going to talk Monday about how those two settlements became 13 states, and what those states decided they had to do to both maintain some kind of connectivity while at the same time maintaining their own sovereignty, because they were actually 13 different cultures and they wanted to make sure and protect themselves. We're going to go there with Constitution 101 on Monday night. That's very short 100 years from 1620 to about 1740. And that's going to be it for tonight, Missouri Grassroots Radio. This has been the roundtable. Mark Mulder, thanks very much. It's been fun.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. I always like it.
I know you do. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk to everybody soon. And listen, folks, join us Monday through Friday, Missouri Grassroots Radio. Do it tonight. Do it tonight. Do it right now. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, Secret Santa button, and PayPal. We love you all, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government.
Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.